cases. Okay, welcome everyone. It's nice to see you everywhere. I got to have you here.
Yeah, thank you, Mervi, for this invitation to this course, to give this lecture about this topic. My name is Timo Lehtonen, and I come from Tampere. I work at Solita, which is a software company located in Tampere and some other places. I also work as a project researcher here at University of Jyväskylä in a research program. So my topic is related to that research program generally. I have been working like 10 years in Solita as a developer, a software engineer there, and I also defended my thesis 1 year ago. Professor Pekka Abrahamsson was my opponent, and we had a great discussion. Mr. Abrahamsson is working in this university at the moment, if someone knows him. And related to this topic here, we have had a team that has made this, Professor Ari Visa at Tampere University of Technology, and also Timo Aho, who will give you a lecture tomorrow, has been part of this work. So we have like two Timos in a row in this lecture hall for 2 days, and kind of double Timo contribution, whatever. Solita is a data-driven company. We have we are a data and customer value-driven transformation company. So what it means is that we create projects to our customers who pay our salary in practice. Solita has been up and running for 20 years now. We started 96, and nowadays we have some 650 employees. The turnover is not yet 100 million, but so we are kind of middle-sized software company. Our competitors like Tieto and Fujitsu Siemens, for example, are a bit larger, but we are not a small company anyway. Solita consists of people, of course. This is, in fact, our patch photos combined to a single picture. One of the developers in our company just took the photos. So here is like, I guess, 300 Solita people on the top right from 2016. So you can see the transformation of our company. We are like more pale and perhaps more male than nowadays. But we don't have the picture for this year, but I think it could be even more feminine, because we acquired a company called Palmu, which is a palvelumuotoilu or service design company. So a lot of people from different backgrounds there. We create a culture and services and technological solutions to our customers. Our offering is, well, basically anything that the customer is willing to pay on software, engineering field, or data analytics. Our customers, there are plenty of customers, of course, or has to be, because we only make customer projects. So we have, on the industrial side, we have, for example, Nokian Tyres, which is a big customer and has been. On the trade sector, we have like Valio and Vianor, for example, telecom sector, banking, finance, and so on. Basically, most of the top 100 companies in Finland are luckily our customers. A couple of concrete examples. For example, the train schedule system of Valtion Rautatiet is the information is brought to you by Solita. It's not our fault if the train is late, but then we have, for example, Lehtipiste. If you ever buy a single copy sales magazine from Finland, it's brought to you by our ERP system. And for example, DNA. We apply machine learning and artificial intelligence to target marketing actions more accurately. So if your phone rings and the person happens to know something about you, it's our fault, basically. That's pretty efficient, actually, to ask the correct questions from a person and then target some marketing actions. But today, I'm going to tell you about Lehtipiste. I saw this course content description. Professor Lauri Frank sent this to me. And, well, I got highlighted some key concepts from this lecture point of view, like technological innovation and, well, research and emerging technologies, and also business models are what I'm going to tell you about in this lecture. So, yeah, I told you about Solita, our customers and so on, and that Gateway Research Program is the context of this lecture also. We are in it with University of Jyväskylä and Bittium, Digia and F-Secure. We are applying Need for Speed research program results in general. These are just TEKES-funded or Business Finland projects nowadays. So about Lehtipiste, I'm going to tell you about the business model, and then the problem of assortment planning. We'll take a look at that in a moment, and then about the experiment where we applied artificial intelligence and machine learning to this assortment planning problem. But yeah, so first I'll begin with a question. So what is Lehtipiste and what kind of business model it might have? Well, that's a question to you, so perhaps you could even discuss with a person next to you about this question. So what is Lehtipiste and what do they do? What kind of business model do they have? I will ask it in like 1 minute, the correct answer from the audience. So please discuss with the person next to you, or even alone, you can just discuss and so on. Muutelle jotenkin. Mitä katsotaan Twitteriä?
Siis mulla on tili, mutta en muista mikä se on.
Mä voisin pyytää vaikka jotain twiittaa. Mä voin jossain kohtaa.
Siis viimeksi on niin. Henkilö, joka suostui antamaan oman.
No niin, jota juttu. Okay, so let's go through what kind of initial thoughts do you have about Lehtipiste? So anything, what is it and even what kind of business model it might have? Any comments from the first row, for example, or just tell anything. What does it sell, for example? Yeah. Yeah, that's the key component of their business, to distribute magazines all over to Finland. Right now we are located in Jyväskylä, but there are a lot of, well, Finland is a large country. And, well, the nearest Lehtipiste, can you name the place? Where is the nearest Lehtipiste from this spot? or one of the nearest. I guess that even the cafeteria in the hallway could be one of the Lehtipiste sales outlets. And I have more questions to you in a moment, but about the sales outlets. So there are plenty of Lehtipiste sales outlets in Finland, 4,000, even more of them, and each of them has a unique assortment. They have a huge amount of different kind of magazines in the assortment, and all of these sales outlets, they have their own specific, unique assortment. And then a bit more complicated question. You can discuss this also with the friend next to you. So Seiska is one of the top 10 magazines in Finland. Actually, I have one Seiska here. I can put this lehti. There is Siltsu ja Siim kuhertelevät Espanjassa, and Matti Nykänen, of course. So here is the some of the magazines. You can put them around, but please don't steal them, because I have to return them to our customer. But the question is that if we take any sales outlet, there has to be some. There's one sales outlet there, and if we go there, and they have Seiska in their assortment because it's a very popular and fancy magazine in many ways. Was a joke actually, but so how many pieces of Seiska are sold in a typical outlet? And let's say that this one, for example, is typical. I'm not looking for exact median or mean value, but what do you guess? Because next week there will be a new Seiska, perhaps Kimi Räikkönen, or what is that, Tauski, perhaps. Don't know, we have many famous people here in Finland. So how many are sold? That's the question. Just guess, because no one ever knows this. So yeah, I'm sure you are wrong, but just say the number. Yeah, too many. Okay, nice guess. Anyone else? it was completely wrong, actually. But so, what about you two? Any number? How many Seiskas sold there? Or in a typical? It's kind of if you take all of those 4,000 sales outlets. So of course, some of them sell more than the others, but kind of average number. Per issue in one sales outlet. Exactly that kiosk. I'm sure if we can zoom and see the Seiska there, but it is there. perhaps there is shelf of magazines there. So on the first row, any guesses? Because next week there will be a new Seiska with Matti Nykänen, for example, so it may sell a bit more, but okay, but 15 is too much still, so, and it's the most popular magazine, so we are, any more questions? So it's lower number. Actually, we can. You can. We can take a look at the stats of Media Audit Finland. So here we have the exact numbers, or you can go and take a look at this. I will just tell you the correct answer, and it's five. So it's a bit more, a bit less than usually thought, because if we have 4,000 sales outlets and each of them sells like five Seiskas, then it's 20,000, and yeah, that's top 10 sales in Finland. So the following question, there is, we take any of those special magazines there, like Venelehti. I'm not sure if it was there, but there's some Tiedelehti at least there. It could be Tiede also, or Science magazine, or motorbiking magazine. So another question, how many boating magazines are sold in 3 months? It could be that Technica Maailma, for example, or whatever. Yeah, but yeah, question, please. Did someone, one? Half. Yeah, well, that's pretty near, because well, this is the actual statistics of Media Audit Finland, and it says that there is a boating magazine here, and this is public statistics. So this column means single copy magazines with no, what is that, discount. And it's 1,100 pieces per issue in all of those 4,000 sales outlets. So the question, so the correct answer is that exactly one is sold. And what this means actually is that we have a tail optimization problem here, because if you take a look at this sales data of that boating magazine in all of the sales outlets, we can see that there are some sales outlets that sell very many pieces or very many euros of that magazine. For example, a sales outlet at a kiosk in the Helsinki-Vantaa airport, or even the Jyväskylä railway station, it could sell like like 30 magazines, and if it costs like 10 euros, so 30 magazines would be 300 euros. So there are certain places that of course have a lot of people going through or going near the sales outlet or passing the sales outlet and buying magazines. But then the difference is that if you take median sales in any of these sales outlets, I'm not sure if there is boating magazine here, but you can take, for example, Kunto magazine or some health magazine, or you can take a camera magazine or whatever, and the median sales in all of these sales outlets, there are like 1,500 sales outlets, for example, that sell this magazine or have this magazine in the assortment. It's only one sold product there. So the point here is that we have a tail optimization problem. In 3 months, some of the magazines are not sold at all. And then we get to the business model, because those magazines are not really sold. And well, this was the first question. So what do you think, what kind of business model does Lehti.fi have? What kind of stakeholders and so on? What is the business? Any guesses or do they have business at all? Yeah. Mm? Yeah, they take one portion of the sales of the magazines. And what kind of what else stakeholders are there in this business? Where do the magazines come from? Well, I have a sequence of pictures here. So this kind of practical explanation of Lehti business model. But the thing is that there is a customer. For example, you, by the way, hands up, who has not bought any magazine this year? I'm not allowed because I bought one Seiska for lecturing purposes. But yeah, so which magazines did you buy and why? Has anyone any example of an event where you bought a magazine and why was that? But generally, well, we have a customer who has €5 in his or her hand, and then the question is that should I buy a Seiska or put the money to something else? That's the main question. And if the customer buys the magazine, that €5 will be divided to, well, three pieces practically. So Lehtipiste will get approximately €2. The publisher of the magazine, for example, let's see what it says, because publisher. Okay, so Aller publishes Seiska, and Seiska and Katso-lehti reached like 1,600,000 and 600 people every month. And so if a customer buys a Seiska, then €2 will go to Lehtipiste and €2 to Aller's, the publisher, and then €1 to the merchant, so the kiosk or the shop that sells the magazine. So that's the rough business model here. And physically, how the supply chain of these magazines goes is that there is the central warehouse is located in Vantaa. So every magazine is first at Vantaa. When the publisher prints the magazines and takes them to Lehtipiste, they take them to Vantaa, and there are people who pick up the shipments that go to the sales outlets later. And for example, here shipment 22 go to US Kyllä Centrum to Arkiosk, and shipment 23 here could go to Kokkola, for example. And they have a larger kind of trunk transportation from Vantaa to, for example, to northern part of Finland, then smaller vans. And then there is the merchant who is happy to get new Seiska, and then there are people like you who buy these magazines absolutely randomly. So 70% or 80% of purchase events are random because people don't know that they are going to buy a magazine before they go to Lehtipiste. And then the magazines that are not sold, as many are not, they are taken to place called Makulatuurikeskus or Makkeli, whatever in English. The place where you smash the seiskan and then make new ones. So it's green business, generally, almost. Never-ending cycle. So when you, of course, when you smash the print magazines here, you can always make new paper of it and new seiskas. Perhaps again with Matti Nykänen's face on it, or maybe Kimi Raikkonen for a chance. But yeah, so let's go to the topic of this lecture in a while. So the question is that there are plenty of magazines in Finland, or single copy magazines. For example, this one, Femina, which is Sveriges största magazine för kvinnor. I'm not sure if you are familiar with it or not, but there is such magazine. So the question is that where to deliver that magazine? Because we have those 4,000 sales outlets in Finland. For example, we have Sale Vierumäki or S-Market, Kaukovainio, Oulu. In every supermarket and market, there is a place where they sell those single copy magazines. But exactly where should we put this kind of magazine that is targeted to apparently to women, and what is the target group of this magazine actually? I don't know, but there is such magazine, and there the problem is that in the central warehouse, where should we put that magazine? Would it be shipment 22 that went to Centrum of Jyväskylä, or shipment 23 that goes to Oulu, to a supermarket, or perhaps shipment 24 that goes to Helsinki near the Opera House, for example? So that's a pretty hard question, actually. How to put that magazine to such a sales outlet that will sell the magazine? Because, of course, it's good business to sell the magazines always, because there is this €5 income, and it is actually very expensive to transport all those magazines all over to Finland. So it's much cheaper to actually sell the magazine, so you don't have to pick it back, you don't have to return it to the same place, and then to this whatever smashing plant of magazines it is in English. So of course you want to sell the magazine, but which one of these shipment is the correct one? And then of course Seiska, for example, Vesa Keskinen pommittaa tekstiviesteillä ex-salakastaan. Where to put that? Of course everywhere, because it's Seiska. That's not a problem. This is sold anyway, so of course, yeah. But then when we think about these magazines, that there are plenty of categories of magazines, hobby magazines like Soundi, then some magazines for women like Olivia, or for children, princess magazines, and fashion magazines, and whatever magazines. A lot of magazines, 1,500 different kinds of magazines sold actually in Finland in single copy sales. So we have an assortment planning problem here. And how would you solve this problem? Any suggestions? If you were working at Lehtipiste, so what kind of assortments would you plan? Just put every magazine into every sales outlet is not possible. So if we take that For example, this says out that here. What kind of assortment would be good there? Or we can take any. For example, S-market. Kolmikulma. Let's take a look at what it looks like. This kind of says out that it's located in a, well, inside a shopping center. So what kind of assortment of products would sell there? Any solutions to this? Yeah. I'm happy to hear that you mentioned demographics because they don't work at all. I have an example of that exactly. This is not a. That's kind of better one. But about the demographics, for example, in Tampere we have or once had Anttila, and then there is one sales outlet inside Anttila, and another sales outlet downstairs of that Anttila, and one more arkiosk around the corner, and this area has exactly the same demographic factors. They are located on the same square of demographics, but the sales of these three sales outlets, for example, it's completely different. They're completely different persons that go to Anttila than to these other two sales outlets. We'll take a look at that in a while. But what we did is, let's go towards that Anttila case first. What we did in this case, when we tried to solve this problem, we took use of information visualization. So first we made this kind of simple visualization that has all the product categories here. For example, the black ones here is Ristikot. There's a lot of crosswords sold in this magazine or in this single sales outlet. Then, for example, the green ones here, because the color is the product category. There are a lot of gardening and magazines related to living and gardening. And then, for example, women's magazines, Naistenlehdet, are pink ones here, and then For example, red ones, Info Technik, like Tiede, which was one of those magazines, so on. So we just put every the first version is to put every magazine equal size, and then that other option, wait a second. By the way, if anyone of you uses Twitter, just tweet at this moment, for example, when there are not euros visible. You can tag, for example, Solita Oy there, and we are very happy to then retweet that tweet. Wait a second, I'll take a look at if I can find. You all use Twitter, so just go on, or some of you perhaps. You can put a text like Mr. Lehtonen is looking for somewhere something from the machine. At Solita Oy. Now I lost my material related to this. Well, okay, I lost the interactive version of my lecture material, so let's move on with the slides. But then we can change the size of that magazine in this multidimensional visualization. We can put the size to sales value of that magazine. For example, this could be 3 months of sales or 1 year or whatever period, but if the magazine sells a lot, it's drawn with a larger rectangle. For example, Toto magazine here or Seura, they sell a lot. And then we have other outlets that can be visualized in the same manner. So here we have exactly two sales outlets. The previous one, and then some outlet that is actually selling very many Seiskas and Seuras and Menaiset and whatever. And what is the point in this kind of visualization is that we can have some kind of figure for the visual capabilities of the human brain to make some insight and some comparisons between the sales outlets. So, for example, let's take this Anttila example here. Anttila sells a lot of Menaiset. This is some Koristeelliset Kaku Cake magazine, Anna and Cosmo and whatever, Seiska. And then a lot of magazines that are generally sold not too many pieces of them per issue. And then we have that kiosk behind the corner that sells completely different magazines, like horse gambling magazines, for example, Seitsemän Oikein, Toto, and Hevosurheilu. And then some magazines that apparently are bought by the people that buy horsing magazines. For example, I'm not sure if this is a familiar product to you, but 60 Up or Score, for example, it's well, a magazine for older men, I guess, because older men like to gamble, like to make horse gambling. And yeah, and then we have this kind of sales outlets that are selling, for example, Menaiset and Anna, Seiskan Seura, and kind of weekly published magazines, a lot of them. In the same spot, practically, because these all are located in the exactly same place. We take a bird perspective to this place. It's actually it's that one. So this is the kiosk is located here, and Antila was actually there, and then the shop in the downstairs. And well, we can then find a similar kind of sales outlets from other parts of Finland, and we can of course look for this kind of similar looking sales outlets just visually. So we can see that, for example, K-supermarket Kuninkaankulma seems to have a similar kind of sales profile than K-supermarket Manhattan in Turku. I don't know what kind of place is that, but the sales is practically identical. And then this R-kiosk that is selling those horse gambling magazines, there is a similar kind of kiosk in Kuopio that sells almost the same magazines, the same amounts. And then Anttila at Tampere looks to be rather similar than Anttila in Lappeenranta. Do you agree with that? It sounds reasonable, or at least it looks that these sales outlets have this kind of sales profiles, that there are certain big magazines in terms of sales. They have same coloring according to the sales category of the magazines. And then we can take the method that we used here. It's here actually. So we can just take the raw sales data of Lehtipiste. Of course, it's full of zeros because, as you noted, we have a tail optimization problem, and the number of sold magazines is rather small. But anyway, it's business because that's the public information of Lehtipiste turnover there, actually. So Lehtipiste makes like 70 million euros every year by selling Seiskas and other fancy magazines. And also the result, or what is that in English, liiketoiminnan tulos, you know it better. I think you are the masters of profit, yeah. So profit is like 10 million euros. And well, this is the latest statistics It's over 10 million and going up at least 2016. And then some other statistics there. So this is a good business, actually, although it's full of zeros. So this is just the raw data when you take it from the database of the ERP system that we made to Lehti.piste. It's full of zeros, of course, because a lot of those magazines are not sold. But then there are figures like 51.6 euros, which means that some sales outlet has sold some product and worth of 51 euros. But then, of course, you can make just put the stuff to Excel, for example, to make a table of it. I think this is something you can all do. We can have the products as columns. This is product 1, 2, 3, and product 1,500 is the last one. And then each sales outlet, there are 4,000 of them on the rows. And for example, this outlet 1 sold product 2, which could be, for example, that boating magazine per year, for example. It sold it for 23.60 euros, and sales outlet O2, as it says here, sold product B3, that one of exactly one piece, actually, because it's 990. Yeah, okay, so any questions or comments related to that matrix? Do you... I'm sure you understand what it means. But any questions related to this business so far? I will continue after next question. So. There are no stupid questions, or how does that go? And Mervi is not allowed to ask a question because she's the lecturer, but all of you students, please ask any question of Lehti.piste's business so far, so we can continue. Yeah, you. The business model is to. Yeah, that's a great question. What is the business model actually? It is that Lehti.piste acquires the magazines from the publishers, for example, Seiska from Allers. Lehti.piste does not bought them, but it's commission kind of business. So Lehti.piste just delivers the magazines to all sales outlets in Finland, all over Finland. And then when the magazines are sold, the money is divided to Lehti.piste, the publisher, and the merchant. So that's the short version. And I think people at Lehti.piste would have a better explanation for this, but I think it's somehow correct. So that's how they make, Lehti.piste makes 10 millions, and others, possibly. Let's see if we have it. I'm not sure if this asiakastieto has right information or not, but I guess it is. Allers makes some 2 million profit plus 165% actually. Maybe they have sold a lot of Seiskas that year, or possibly some other changes. But yeah, that's the business. It's a business for many stakeholders, actually. And then the experiment we did, it began from the solution. We took the self-organizing map, which is a method for organizing any data set. For example, here, first we have a map or a table, a map of randomly placed colors. We can think of them like RGB values. For example, zero amount of red or R, and then zero amount of green, and maximum amount of blue means there is blue color pixel in this multi-dimensional dataset. So this is basically how you declare colors in computers in general. And then you can take the artificial intelligence method called self-organizing map, which was invented by academy professor Teuvo Kohonen some 25 years ago. So this is old technique. And then you can just tell the algorithm to organize the data. And it does its work by iterating through the data. So we have here the second iteration, and then the things go on here, and the end result of this data set is that the colors are in order. The original example Teuvo Kohonen uses on his web pages, the academy professor, is that they have taken what is this, pronunciations, vowels and consonants, and then made a vector of them. I think everyone of you has seen this kind of things. So this, for example, could be letter A, and then somewhere near the map there could be letter E, for example. And then this could be K, and that possibly S. Or that sound, you can, with this method, you can organize any data set, like sound waves or colors or whatever. And the result is, well, I'm not going to through the theory here, but the thing is that you can also organize Lehtipiste's sales data with this algorithm. So we can take the table we had here, this simple table. We have the products in the columns and all the outlets on the rows, and a lot of empty spaces here or zeros. Then we have these sales figures or amount of sold euros per year in this case. And we can tell the algorithm that self-organize, and it does its work this way. So here, what we have now is the sales data organized based on the sales profiles of the products in all the sales outlets. So what we can see here is that we have clusters of products. For example, here are a lot of hobby magazines. And there we have a couple of magazines for older women, apparently. And we have these weekly magazines like Anna and Eva, possibly younger women buy these magazines. And then we have a cluster of kind of fashion magazines like Costume and Diva and Olivia and so on. Another cluster here is there is that Femina and what is it? Schöna Hem, Ruoka and Viini, and Economist. So kind of these are not poor people's magazines, but apparently rich people buy them because they're expensive. I mean, The Economist, for example, is like 10 euros at least. It's someone else's magazine, so not mine actually. And then we have a cluster of, for example, those magazines that have cakes on the cover. And how it happened actually is that we just gave this simple table of sales data to that actually rather simple neural network algorithm, and then we have a organized result. Any questions or comments related to that, or do you just by the idea that artificial intelligence works. Yeah. In this case, we just gave the year sales of data, just 1 year of data to that algorithm. But actually, we could take a different sample from spring and from autumn. And for example, boating magazines are, of course, sold more in during spring and summer time. And then, like, for example, what could be seasonally sold? Well, I think, for example, Soundi magazine, possibly more during the winter time. Don't know really, actually, but yeah, we could have the seasonal thing here also, but this is just the year sales data. And then we can do the same thing to do this sales outlets here. We can transpose the matrix or turn the table to the other direction. I mean, put the products to the rows and outlets to the columns. So what I mean here is that you kind of turn this table 90 degrees and we have not the outlets on the rows, but the products and vice versa. So we get a different matrix or different data set to organize, or the same data set, but in different order. So we can say to the sales outlets that self-organize, and then the algorithm organizes the sales outlets. And what we can see here is that, for example, on the bottom left corner, we have magazine or sales outlets that sell a lot of gardening magazines. On the right, we have sales outlets that sell a lot of those gray magazines and all these other clusters here. And then we can take any sales outlet from that sales self-organizing map. For example, we can take a look at that spot of the map. If you think about it, like this data set here that we have those vowels and consonants here. For example, we can take kind of A letters or pronunciations of A letters, and they all sound the same. So we can take any spot of that map and then take a look at the visualizations of these sales outlets, and they seem to look rather similar. And also, actually, the places where these two outlets are located looks rather similar. They're not in the middle of Centrum, but on the rural side, perhaps. So the neighbors on the self-organizing map always look similar. In this data set, we have colors here that are organized with this algorithm. And then if we take a look at, for example, this iteration of the map here, we can see that there are red points here and then orange and yellow ones. So the map kind of conserves the similarity of these data elements. So the ones that are similar are located near to each other. Well, it's just machine learning or artificial intelligence, so some basic stuff, actually, that one. And yeah, then there was this Anttila example. We went that through already. But then we get to the assortment optimization part. Let's let's take a look at the interactive version of this visualization. So, okay, can anyone from the audience name any sales outlet in Jyväskylä? Any place that sells Lehti.fi magazines? By name or part of the name? We can look where that exact one sales outlet is located on the self-organizing map for demonstration purposes. Okay, we can take R-kioski. Try again. Well, yeah, that one can actually be too new because this data set is a couple of years old. So any else, Co-market or Ask-market or any kiosk by name? The shop near you. Let's see if because it works or not in this search. Okay. So we can take that as a starting point here. So it seems to be an outlet that sells a lots of Seiskas, of course, as you learned already. And there are then Menaiset and Anna and all those weekly magazines. Then there seems to be a lot of green magazines like Deco and Avotakka, for example, or Gloria. And also that one is Tuulilasi, I guess. But we can find similar sales outlets for this. So we can see where that exact sales outlet it is, and it seems like it that supermarket is clustered to cluster where there are other well supermarkets also, but also smaller markets and. Then we can compare what these other sales outlets look like and see if like they have some kind of similar sales profile. In a sense, and well, then say any magazine, not Mervi, but some other. Any magazine, not Seiska, but some hobby magazine or perhaps interior magazine, for example. Anything. Okay, let's take a look at where that one is located. On the product map, does it work or not? There it is. And it's in that cluster, actually, what are the other magazines? Let's see what kind of it seems to group with magazines like Autobild and Tuulilasi, so other car magazines or motor magazines, and also, well, Top Model is something different, but we can, well, take a look at that cluster of products, and then we can see the places where this product is sold mostly. For example, that cluster of sales outlets there are a lot of markets and other sales outlets there. And well, it seems like this kind of cluster of products is actually, well, in this case, for example, we have that cluster of similar kind of products like Mobilisti in terms of sales profile, and we can see that that's actually Mobilisti there. I'm not sure if you can see it there or not, but that's actually a pretty good sales for this cluster. We have that all these magazines there, but then one of the magazines here seems to be missing, so we make a kind of hypothesis here that the correlation between the magazines is a bit higher. Well, I can take another example that actually the most typical one, or the easiest one to believe. So if we take this cluster on the map, here we have magazines like, I'm not sure if they're familiar to you, but we have Hevosurheilu, Lehtien Toto and Seven Oikein, and then we have Kalle and Kalle plus DVD and Jallu. So it means that these products are bought by certain group of people, and apparently older men who like horse gambling. That's only a such kind of hypothesis here, that the sales of horse gambling magazines and erotic magazines actually correlates. But we can, of course, take a look at those sales outlets that sell this group of magazines, and if we now take a look at this visualization here, we can see that there are lots of, for example, this Ärkioski Sodankylä, Jäämerentie, sounds like it's somewhere north. Then we have those gambling magazines. We have Hevosurheilu magazines and Seven Oikein and Toto. And then we have these erotic magazines like Kalle and Jallu and so on. So we can make a hypothesis that this kind of magazines have a kind of correlation in the sales between those. So let's take a look at that one, for example. So if we kind of buy that idea that the sales of sales categories correlate, we can see that there is one kiosk in Vantaa at Simonseutu, which is not selling Kalle plus DVD at all, but it's selling all those other horse gambling magazines and Kalle and Jallu, actually. So the assumption is that Kalle plus DVD would sell in this sales magazine, sales outlet. I'm not sure if you buy this idea or not, but that's the initial hypothesis. And if you take a look at this hypothesis in a more general level, we can see that if there is a production of that self-organizing map that produces product categories, and then if it kind of looks like these the sold amount of magazines seems to correlate, so that there is always these four magazines in those outlets that are the top sales in them, and then there is we can find one sales outlet that is missing one of those products. So the assumption is that that product would sell pretty well in that sales outlet. So it kind of seems to be obvious, or at least something that we can experiment on. And well, we tested that kind of assumption in this research. These are the weeks of the sold amount of those four magazines. So we have the three magazines here with different colors and the median sales of these three magazines before the fourth one was added to the assortment. It's 4.5 pieces, not euros this time, but pieces. And then when the product was added to the assortment, so we made a kind of automatic assortment planning here. We added that product to the sales outlet, and the median value of the sales of all those four magazines increased to 6.1. So it seems like this is the hypothesis is correct. Oh, I'll skip these mathematics here, but yeah, that's too heavy also. So this is kind of a sample of the assortment change we made. This time it's not a magazine for older men, but for, I think, cultural women, for example. I'm not sure who buys Sveriges Största magazine for kvinnor, but it seems like that kind of magazine in this example that we made in this experiment, that example, the magazine was not bought in Isokyrö on an Arkiosk, but when the same magazine was added to the assortment of a kiosk near the Opera House in Helsinki, it sold like two pieces there. So now that we make this kind of experiment, we can speculate that we could have removed that magazine from the assortment of this sales outlet here, but because we did not really remove that, we just kind of speculate or tacked that kind of product outlet assortment row, that we could remove actually this product from this outlet and add it to here. And because we added it to this R-kiosk, we can then compare the sales. So as you can see, the sales of this magazine increased by 17.60 euros. And as was said, the additions were made by the just suggestions that were derived from the result of that neural network model or the self-organizing map. So this is one example. Do you have any comments or questions related to that? Does it seem like a reasonable result? or any questions, what is happening here? Or is this perfectly clear to you, I guess? Take a look at the clock at the moment. Yeah, we have some 10 minutes still time. So maybe a slot for questions by the way, can I take a picture of you? I'll put it to our Slack at Solita, just to prove to my foreman that I was here, actually. Not really, but it's always nice to take a picture of audiences. But please, you can also tweet, as I mentioned earlier. This social media time is so different that the lecturer takes picture of the students. But yeah, still, any questions or comments related to that? Or do you believe that Femina would sell better near the opera or at Isokyrä? Because that's kind of change we made here. And because we did not remove the product from Isokyrä, we have both of those data points, so we can compare them. We just added the product to the other outlet. We did not remove it, so that we have data for comparison. But we could make that kind of changes to the assortment. For example, now we could actually remove that product and add it to other assortments. But yeah, any comments or questions? Or did you get anything from this lecture, actually? By the way, this is not a straightforward and easy topic to speak in English, at least to Finnish audience, but to get this kind of rather... this is a familiar topic to every one of you, because every one of you has seen magazines, but the business model and the... dimensions of this business are actually pretty hard to conceive. But yeah, comments. Let's repeat the question to the tape. You mean a possibility to make these kind of predictions based on the data? It seems like that the method that was presented here provides some method to make predictions based on the clusters of similar kind of product and sales outlets in terms of their sales profile. But in fact, there could be much more better prediction methods. This is just a result we made in this research. And that's finished, but this is kind of conclusion of the results in this experiment. So as you can see, we have the sales profile of a single magazine here, and then now we are comparing the removals of a single product from other outlets, and then we can speculate that if we would have removed it from here and then add it to the other outlets, we can then compare the results of sales. And as you can see here, there are two red lines here and one green line, and another green line that is higher, which means higher sales. So we can see that we could have removed that single product from assortment of these two outlets and then added to here. So this is kind of plus minus zero, these two products here. But then when the product was removed here and added to this outlet, we can see that the sales is actually 50% higher in this case. And in general, we had a result of 29% sales increase with this optimization method. But still, because we are optimizing the long tail of zero sales, the volume of the total sales is not too big. It's only 0.25% growth to the total sales of Lehtipiste. But still, when the when the business is like 68 million euros, then even this 0.25% increase brought by this method is some 200,000 euros per year. Well, it's hard to say if it's enough or not, but it's still 200,000 euros someone's money. It's always better to sell the magazines in terms of, for example, well, any business generally. But of course there are things like product cannibalism that are not taken to account in this experiment. What product cannibalism means is that when we have this kind of any assortment here, so if we just add, for example, that Femina magazine to this assortment, so how does it affect on sales of Kotiliesi, for example, or any other magazine? So we have a lot of speculations related to this kind of assortment optimization here. Okay, but yeah, it's time for last comments. We have like 5 minutes still, so any other comments or questions? I can at least try to answer them. Yeah, that's an interesting question, actually. Well, you can utilize it to any data set to organize any rows of data with lots of columns or dimensions. And, well, they could be, for example, students and their grades from different courses. So the students on the rows and then grades on the columns. And then you can just say that self-organize, and then you would have different kind of students in different kinds of groups. For example, students that like to or are good in math could be in one cluster, and those one that are good in languages, for example, in another group, and then a third group that students that are good in both of them. So, well, the question is, I'm not sure. It's just data analytics and machine learning, so anything goes. But yeah, the last comment from you, girls there in the first row almost. About the lecture in general or the topic? Or was it completely boring and like that? Yeah, that's a good question, actually. So what is the takeaway for you from this? Like, any new idea, perhaps, or any conception of data analytics? Or
sure.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's a great takeaway. Yeah, or at least you can try to use it. That's not... this lecture was not maybe the best... possible case where to use artificial intelligence, but at least we tried it, and maybe we try something else next time. But yeah, tomorrow we have Timo Aho here, who was one of the contributors for this work, so you can say greetings to the other Timo. But well, I thank you for your attention. Gracias.